Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a prince, a princess, or anywhere in between, welcome to Katie Keencast. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin, Chief Dreamer.
I'm Pete.
Just regular Dreamer Pete, or have you been promoted to Senior Dreamer at this point?
I'm pretty old, so probably Senior.
Pete's the under Dreamer. He's just working his way up the dream charts to be the big Dreamer.
Started as a dream catcher, and now he's here. We're going to be talking about Chapter 6, Mama Said, the latest episode of Katie Keene, and we'll do a little bit of a recap here before we get into it. The main thing that you need to know is that Katie Keene, aspiring fashion designer working at Lacey's department store, has broken up with her longtime and first ever beau, K.O. Kelly, a sexy boxer. Now, she's been reeling from that, but slowly repairing herself, repairing her heart, along with her friends, including Jorge Lopez, who is an aspiring drag queen under the name Ginger Lopez. She works at a place called Molly's Crisis, and so far, everything has been smooth there, but this episode, Molly's Crisis, goes into crisis. We'll talk more about that.
Okay.
I mean,
there's a little bit of a crisis on Infinite Molly's, if you want to talk about that.
It's interesting using the word crisis in this day and age, trying to figure out exactly what that means.
Yeah, I think crisis is not the word to use right now.
I mean, listen, it's okay. Should we call it Molly's Pandemic? Would you?
Oh my God, you went the wrong way, bro.
I love that.
I did. Oh, I went backwards. Okay.
We'll meet me at Molly's part. Pandemic. We're going to get fucked up.
So that's what's going on with Jorge and Ginger. Jorge came out as Ginger Lopez to her mom last episode. So that was very sweet and nice. And she was a bit of a dancer, Broadway actor or something back in the day. I don't know if it's been totally specified, but she is very proud of him. So that's nice. Now, the other friends you need to know about, there's Pepper Smith. Pepper Smith is opening a place called The Pepper Plant. She has been working with an aspiring director who's currently going to Tisch School of the Arts. His name is Raj. Raj is definitely not there because currently he's filming porn that Pepper has been tweaking, no pun intended, into sort of like art porn, I guess we can call it.
Exactly. And I know that line because I'm not gross looking at regular porn. I exclusively look at art pornography.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emphasis on the art. A lot of it's just still lifes of fruit.
Mm-hmm. If I want to jack off, I only go to the Met.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for using the grossest possible term for masturbation, by the way, Alex.
Yeah, sorry about that. What are we, 3 minutes into the podcast?
Jesus Christ.
Strong choice of words from Mr. Zalbin.
Parent. Sorry about that, guys.
Parent of two.
Listen, man, that's how
in charge of
made,
two people.
Not that's accurate, Alex. Not accurate.
All right. Well, check out my other doctor podcast.
Yeah.
So Pepper has opened the Pepper Plant. We should also mention she is a con woman and was working with Dee Dee, a woman that she was also in a romantic relationship with, who worked at a hotel that she was scamming her way into staying at. So that's kind of what's going on with Pepper. Last person you need to know about is Josie McCoy. Josie McCoy is, of course, from Riverdale, a town somewhere. Probably upstate New York, not entirely clear.
Oh, come on.
And she, her mother's name is Sierra McCoy. Now, when we knew Sierra McCoy back in Riverdale days, she was always fiercely supportive of Josie. She was her number one fan.
She was also used to be the manager.
She also used to be the mayor. She was and is a lawyer. And her dad I believe Miles McCoy was a famous musician who wanted nothing to do with her. But as we discover this episode, it seems like the dynamic has switched a little bit. The other thing you need to know about Josie is she's been mixing up with the uber-rich Cabot family, including romancing Alex Cabot, who is her manager and also working on music with her. That has been partially at the behest of his dad, Mr. Cabot, who has been paying her to make an EP and also keep Alex on the straight and narrow. You know who doesn't like that is Alex's sister, Zandra Cabot, who is actually not his biological sister and dated him back in the day in high school before the parents got married. Not creepy. I mean, it's pretty normal. It's just a thing that happens.
And maybe it's still fun. Wants to date him.
I think so. I think there's a little bit of romance interest going on there.
Wait, you guys seriously don't think that's creepy?
What about the Brady Bunch? You know they were hooking up.
Come on, man. Yeah.
In canon, they were hooking up.
That's not See? True. That is not yeah. true.
You obviously watched different episodes of the Brady Bunch than I did.
Okay. Is what's going on. He watched art episodes of the Brady Bunch. Art Brady Bunch.
Yes. So with that out of the way, that recap, let's jump into it. Talk about Mama Said. Justin, you want to walk us through this one?
Let's do it. So we kick it off with Katie. As we saw her do last episode, she finished her application to Parsons, and she runs it down not to her local post office, but to a very special mailbox. Yeah. In her old neighborhood where she has a vision of her mom, who is sort of
super sweet,
heralding her application. What's that?
Yeah.
It was a very touching, beautiful moment. I really like that.
Yes.
Do you have any, I mean, we always try to talk about New York moments here on this podcast. Do you
favorite mailboxes?
Favorite mailboxes. Well, your favorite mailbox?
I got to say, when they turned all the mailboxes into R2-D2s to celebrate Star Wars anniversary or something, that was glorious. I was taking my picture next to like every mailbox I saw. It was great.
Oh, Pete, I hate to break it to you. That was when you were hit over the head with a shovel, and you dreamed that for several weeks.
Wait, was the shovel shaped like R2-D2? Is that how it?
That's exactly right. It's a
no,
special
come on,
Star
I wasn't
Wars
crazy.
Shovel.
That really happened.
No.
Okay, it doesn't seem true. I got to say about the mailboxes nowadays, not to sound like a crazy old man, but have the ones near by you, have they taken away the flippy flap thing?
Yeah, you just got
like they just have a
in.
Slot there.
Yes, old man's album.
I forget every single time, and I start grabbing it and trying to pull it, and it just doesn't work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Write your congressperson.
Yes.
No, come on, guys. You know what? You don't remember when they did up the trash, the mailboxes like R2-D2? That was cool.
Hold on a second. Was it mailboxes or was it trash cans?
It was mailboxes.
Okay.
I will say it makes sense if it was mailboxes.
It was the thing in New York City, you assholes. Admit it.
I do remember the cows. Are you thinking of the cows? The art cows? They were around.
Are you seriously not going to back me up on this?
No, I do remember this. This is true. I will back you up on it. All right. Let's keep going.
So next up, we're back in the apartment, and we learn that Katie has only ever been with one man. KO.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
That was interesting as well. I saw a couple of people being upset at Pepper for being like, what are you talking about? Why have you only had one boyfriend? A lot of the conversations in this episode felt very reminiscent from being in my 20s in New York, honestly. Like, things like there's some people that don't have as much experience. I certainly remember hanging out with my friend group, and you're always talking about, like, to be frank, like, how many people have you dated? How many people have you kissed? How many people have you slept with? Come on, you got to go out. You got to get back on the horse. All of that stuff. So, again, like, to me, this all rang very true, I felt.
Yeah, especially like where there's different levels of experience between different people, like the fact that Katie's with her was with her high school sweetheart. I think that's very true. And other people who are like, oh, I didn't even date anybody. And then I've been just everywhere for the last year when I moved to New York and went crazy. Like that feels very real.
I think the important part here is that first off, Zalbin, you have a very close group of friends that you shared how many people you slept with. I think that like
I'd never tell you though, just to be clear, Pete.
I don't want to know, Selvin. Don't ever tell me. But I thought it was super sweet. I thought it was super sweet how she kind of really talked about like the important parts in her life, the milestones that she wants KO there, and she misses him. You know, and it's just a little upsetting that the friends were just like, no, fuck that dude. You know, move on.
You
got to
play
your
the
life.
Field. Yeah, but I think that's very friend group thing to do, to be like, yeah, let's get over this. Let's move on. Because they're just trying to help.
Right. I don't think they're being callous of their relationship. I think they are being her cheerleader. And that's what friend groups do, is they're saying, you're great. Obviously, I mean, with the exception of, in this case, K.O. Kelly is a perfect guy. So I don't think they can't do the typical, like, your K.O. sucks. You're great. You're so much better than him, because that's not true. But they are being a cheerleader. They're like, no, you got to get past this. You're better than this. You got to be happy. Here's an easy way to be happy. Just have a random hookup. Get past that, no pun intended, hub, and then you will feel much better.
Well, sure. I mean, there's a little validity to what you're saying, but like, I think that regardless of who's better or whatever, I just think that like when someone's like, oh man, I really miss the person that I was in love with for a big chunk of my life. You know, maybe one friend would be like, cool, man, maybe you should listen to that a little bit also. But if you feel like you should move on, okay, like we are in New York City, you know? So like, I can understand it. I was just a little upset that not one of the group friend was also being like, hey, you know, like, sure, but also like, KO seemed pretty cool.
I don't know, Pete, that's a crazy thing to say if your friend's going through a breakup and saying, yeah, it sucks, but man, KO was cool.
Just to be clear, I'm watching you on this TV show. My name is Pete LePage, and I really ship KO with you. I'm hoping you guys get back together, but do what you need to do.
Yeah.
It's like effectively saying, hey, wallow in your heartbreak. It was good and you lost it.
No, I'm just saying that, like, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just.
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. But I think what you're saying is from the perspective of somebody who is watching Katie and KO on the show and knows the dramatic arc and how their emotions work and that they are ultimately going to get back together. But first, Katie needs to go on this journey. And there's a difference between, like, just to get back to the whole real life friend group thing, there's a difference between it's you one-on-one, you're having a late night conversation, your friend is sobbing because they broke up with the love of their life and you're consoling them. At that point, you're not like, go out now at 3 a.m. and go hook up. Woo. You're not, that's not the time for that. That's when you give them that. Yes, this was great. You were great in this relationship. I know. And you just listen and you hold them and that's it. But at this point, when they're getting ready to go out for the night, that is the point when you're like, go out and fuck somebody. Like, get over this and get on to the next thing.
Does it work when you're getting over a big breakup to go out and hook up with somebody?
I don't know. All I'm saying is, if somebody is talking about, like, I miss KO, KO's the best, man, it would be great if KO is here, I would just say, like, hey, maybe not going on or going out. Maybe you need to, like, why is this still coming up for you if you're not over him, you know?
I think what it is, Pete, is you miss KO.
Yes. To answer your question, though, Justin, I think, no, it doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel worse, but it redirects your pain in a different direction.
Oh, it makes you – changes the pain? What, yeah. What pain are you directing toward this other person? This
the prince? No, what I mean is like
– the prince talked particularly, about that. He was like – in the episode, he was talking about how like it's a different kind of pain.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is like – she is messed up over her breakup with KO. I don't think, just to jump ahead, when she eventually hooks up with Prince or when she's talking with this hot photographer guy, going through with that doesn't necessarily make her feel better or good about it, even though momentarily you feel good because of reasons. I think ultimately you're like, oh my God, I betrayed the person that I was in love with. Maybe there was this chance that we were going to get back together. You go through a lot of conflicting emotions, but it allows them to change and grow beyond just that initial heartache, which allows them to diffuse a little more, which does actually allow you to move on, is why it's a rebound, not a permabound.
Yeah.
Wow. Licensed therapist, Alex Zalbin.
oh my God, why did I sleep with the prince and ruin a marriage that was like happening and like could have happened? And oh my God, that was fucked up.
I don't know. I think it works every time. So let's jump back into the episode. We get Jorge's story. The Jorge Ginger story is all about these other queens sort of invading Ginger's space.
Yeah.
There's a big competition throughout the episode for Miss Washington Heights. And it's feisty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I got to be honest. This is not... I felt like I was missing 50% of the things that were happening in the episode because most of them were drag race references and other things.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, who does watch Drag Race, I was like, oh, Shangela is on this episode. Is she somebody? And she's like, Shangela. So, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. This actress, this is great. This drag performance is great. This is super fun. But I don't have a reference for who this is. And when when the cast was tweeting and everything, they're like, oh my God, I'm so glad we got to work in this reference. And I was like, I don't know what this reference is. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But still, very fun arc at the same time.
Great. Yeah, we get a scene with Jorge and his mom. I love how she's really in this fight with him.
Yeah, it was great.
Really great. I love the scene that with Jorge and the other queen when they're auditioning for something unrelated, dancing and like just talking shit to each other. That
was the rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. All the smack talk was good. I mean, you mentioned the scene with the mother, her teaching him how to smize and him being terrible at it.
Yeah, that was so funny. She looked like so perfect. And then Jorge looked like so menacing and like freaked out. It was really great.
He looked like the Joker. Yeah. That's what he looked like.
And then the mom being like, you're a Lopez. You could do it. Was really, I loved them teaming up.
Yeah.
But I also think that that's not who Ginger Lopez is. She's not that type of queen who's like looks, has those devil eyes. I think, and maybe what we're going to see by the going forward from what we learn later in the episode is that Ginger's like a much more sensitive, soulful drag queen.
Yeah. Yeah, which is great. I mean, I think we've talked about this almost every episode, but the Jorge Ginger storyline is so nuanced and interesting. A lot of the show in a very good way is very pop and it's very exactly what you need it to be in terms of the fairy tale storyline or the music storyline. But the Ginger Jorge storyline, I feel like they bring so much more subtlety too, in terms of the emotions and the thrust of the plot and everything. Just good stuff.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's always a great part of the app.
Why don't we go talk about Pepper and Josie and then come back to Jorge Katie for the end?
Okay,
sure.
Because they sort of exist on their own. Pepper, she has a date with Raj, I believe is his name.
Raj.
And they are connecting. There's this relationship is sort of she's trying to grift him, but she does like him sure. And then Dee Dee shows up at the Pepper plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to mention this was another thing. And again, I felt completely lost while everybody was tweeting. But there was a dish that he was making at the beginning, like omelette franchise or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a reference to either Real Housewives or Vanderpump Rules or something. Because everybody was like, we're so glad we got that in. And again, I was like, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I feel like I need to study for the show.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't need to get all of them.
I have to get everything. I have to be the smartest one in the room.
See, that's my problem with you.
Oh, geez.
Wow, let's get into it.
My problem with you is, Pete?
What?
You make these look good.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that's a reference. Pete
doesn't
get
a weird Men in Black thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I was surprised. We weren't quite sure what was going on with the Raj, Pepper, DD situation. I was surprised how this turned out, that Pepper clearly seems to be much more into Raj than Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
And Dee Dee, on the other hand, eventually turning out to be like, I'm going to blackmail you to be teaching me how to be a con woman. I like how that's going. I just would not have predicted that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that Dee Dee was kind of like, I know what you're doing. This is fucked up. I want my cut. So I was happy about like her standing up for herself. But then I'm hoping their relationship will be cool. It'll be like, you know, teaching her how to be a grifter and stuff in New York City would be fun to see.
Do you think that we're going to get a thruple? Do you think DD, Pepper, and Raj are all going to end up together?
Yeah.
Yes? Just...
I don't know.
What?
Okay. Oh, I was asking, do you think DD, Raj, and Pepper are going to end up as a thruple?
Oh, no, I don't think that. Well, by the end of the... So let's get there. Like, Pepper is about to, is trying to grift. She talks to DD about, like, hey, come back later. We'll settle up our relationship. I'm trying to grift this guy. She eventually feels bad about doing that. Mm-hmm. And tells him, basically, like, huh, I was going to do this, and now I'm not.
Right.
Which was sweet.
Which was nice to see. Yeah, it was nice to see her let out some actual... You got to see her a little bit, I think. Because her character's tricky. We know she's a con artist, but we're meant to like her despite the fact that she's sort of lying to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know actually made out with Jared Leto.
I don't know about that either. It's probably a lie. But the fact that, like, she feels like she has to put on this fakeness for her friends, I feel like it's really going to become an issue later.
Well, I don't know. There was, of all the things she has ever said, I went on one date with Jared Leto and all he gave was butterfly kisses, seemed like very real. That seemed like
very funny.
Yes, very funny, but very real. He mailed people rats.
Okay,
Suicide Squad.
All right. Rats and butterfly kisses.
Great joke.
That's the name of my first album, Pete.
I would never buy it.
Rats and butterfly kisses.
Yeah, very Smashing Pumpkins, right?
I give to you.
Anyway, all the songs are from the perspective of a different Jared Leto character.
Yep.
So then we have Pepper, then at the end of the episode, is with Dee Dee again. And Dee Dee, she's like, I don't have the money for you. And Dee Dee's like, okay, I'll work for you. I want you to teach me how to be a con artist.
Yeah. Right. I think it'll be interesting to see how this goes going forward. That's why I was saying, like, maybe a thruple, because clearly she doesn't want to give up Raj. She has these feelings for Raj. At the beginning of the episode, Pepper's like, I don't take off my socks if there's any hint that it's going to be a relationship. And her socks are off by the end of the episode. But yeah. I think there's clearly unresolved feelings with Dee Dee at the same time.
Well, I think I don't think there'll be a thruple because now Dee Dee and Pepper are entering this sort of mentor-mentee relationship, which feels like will undercut any other relationship.
Sure, but they're working closely together, and things happen sometimes.
No, I know. Every job you've been fired from, Alex, has been because you've pursued a workplace romance.
Please don't say that.
Oh, don't say that?
No, I mean, that's not true. That's categorically not true on the record. Parody.
Yeah.
How about that?
Okay, great.
Yeah,
parody. Yeah, sounded totally fine with your response.
Oh, my God.
Pete's my lawyer, right?
What the fuck just happened?
Big mistake. Big mistake.
I just didn't want to go with that line of joking at all.
No, no? Okay.
No.
Now you know how we feel when you bring up some weird-ass shit.
Oh, huh. Very good? You feel very good?
Nope.
Okay.
So let's jump back and talk about Josie.
A
lot of big stuff happening for her. I feel like Josie, in the past couple episodes, she always has a secret that she's keeping from someone that she hates, that she has to do it, but she does.
Yeah. And, well, this one, I mean, I think the big thing here, beyond her figuring out the thing with Alex, of course, is that Sierra McCoy comes down.
Oh, yeah.
Presumably from Riverdale. It's not exactly specified where she's just been, I don't think. But she comes into the apartment. Josie's very nervous. Something has clearly changed in the relationship over the past 5 years.
Riverdale could be in space.
Yeah, absolutely. Or underground in hell or something like that.
Or it's all in the sex bunker.
Yeah, they're all in the sex bunker. So, yeah, Sierra comes down, and they're getting busy. They're cleaning up the apartment, and Sierra comes in and is like, tell me about your lives, what's going on, and they're all pausing about it.
Hot goss. She wants the hot goss.
She wants the hot goss, and everybody's very awkward and nervous, which I think is pretty funny, because if anybody asked Sierra McCoy any hot goss about anything, she'd be like, well, let me tell you a couple of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very intense.
Yes. She's great, though. It was great to see her again.
Great to see her.
Yeah, particularly because she's been off Riverdale for a while, so it was nice seeing her in this context.
Yeah, she saved up all that energy, that all that momentum, and just burst into this show. And she's out there fighting hard for Josie when, well, I guess we can go to the party. Josie has a little party that everyone comes to. It's her, sort of her big album.
Yeah, it's in the basement, which means they did fix it up and get it all decked out.
Yeah, it's a listening party for her EP. So they finished recording the EP. She has a very sweet scene with Alex where they're sitting down and they're listening to it. In between the listening party, Xandra gets the contract and shows it to Alex and reveals that Josie has basically been paid to date him. So he's wasted by the time that he gets there to the party. And of course, tries to ruin it. But this is, having watched a lot of shows where people come in and ruin parties, this was a very light ruining. Like, this was in the span of things. It was more he got a little drunk and came in and disrupted it a little bit.
But yeah, it was still really impressive that Josie was able to sing after that. Like, what a fucking dick move just before her big kind of like debut. He shows up drunk and is like, hey, fuck you. And then she's like, get out of here. And then it's like, oh, Josie, go up and sing on stage. I was like, man, that's brutal.
Yeah. But I think that's what the point was. She was able to rise right above that. But I would argue, like, it wasn't like he was there to disrupt it in an angry way. It's like he was upset. He was sad. It was a sadness driven disruption as opposed to like, I'm going to ruin this.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting about it, because I would feel like normally in this situation on a show, you would have him come in and he'd like knock over the microphone and be like, I have something to say about my client, Josie. She's been dating me for money. Fuck you, Dad. And then stumble off and actually ruin the party.
Sort of a Star is Born style pee your pants situation.
I still haven't seen it. Don't spoil it.
What?
Earmuffs. Earmuffs, Zalvin.
You really haven't seen that movie?
Yeah, I really haven't seen it.
That's insane.
Can I tell you my more insane reason for not wanting to see it?
I initially
skipped it. I got annoyed by the idea that Bradley Cooper discovered Lady Gaga.
You're so dumb. Wow. You're the dumbest guy.
So picky.
You're so dumb.
Alex, that's petty.
Yeah. I was like, come on. He was Sydney's friend on Alias. That's all he'll ever be.
Wow. Why do you hate Bradley Cooper? He's a star. He's the star who's born.
How smart and how dumb you are at the same time. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that and I hate it.
Which is which? Well, there's a scene. And let me say, that movie is, the first half is good. And the second half is sort of bad.
Yeah, I can't watch the second. The
second half is a bummer, but in the second half,
it's your favorite. You put it in halves. It's a movie you can put into halves.
Oh man! Again, no spoilers. I don't even want to know if there's halves, two halves of the movie.
It's more like three halves.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, Bradley Cooper pees his pants. You should see that clip anyway, because it's embarrassing for your most hated enemy, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. All right, I'll check out that clip, and that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Wow, how'd you know what anyone was talking about for like 4 months last year?
I don't know. I just wanted to take another look at them, you know? So, and then
wow.
I did.
Wow.
Anyway, back into the story. Josie, after the Alex interruption, Josie sings her song, her and Chubby.
Chubbs.
Very cute. Sing the song together. Yeah. Very nice and sweet.
Josie's mom threatens Mr. Cabot.
Oh, yeah, during the song.
Love that.
Classic leans over.
I felt like it was a little rude because she could have waited the 3 minutes until Josie was done with the song. Yeah. But at the same time, it was a pretty epic thrashing, which was nice.
But, like, can you imagine Josie, if she would have looked over and just saw her mom? I mean, because the look on her face, she was like, I will fucking end you. I was like, Jesus.
She's a maniac. Just ask Hiram Lodge. As she says.
Yes. Just ask Hiram Lodge. And again, I wanted him to be like, I don't know who that is.
I don't get that.
I don't watch Riverdale.
Yeah. Why do you keep referencing these people?
That's a fictional show. This show's real.
But yeah, she threatens her. And then there's a sweet scene with Sierra and Josie right after that where she kind of is like, again, I like the emotional intention of the scene where she's like, you're better than this. You're better than this trashy soap opera that's going on around you.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice.
It was kind of nice. It was kind of sweet, but it was also kind of weirdly also a little mean where she was like, I'll always be here to pick up the pieces. Like, oh, so Josie's always going to be in pieces? But like, it was sweet, but it was also a little bit of a dig.
Well, that's still a nice thing to say. That doesn't imply that she's always going to be in pieces, I think.
Yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying, Pete, but I do think like this has always been this part did feel very Riverdale to me because it was these heightened circumstances that they are used to dealing with. And as opposed to Pepper, who's like, I'm just living my life and conning a couple of people. And isn't this fun? Or Katie, who's like, am I going to choose this boxer or this prince? Josie's like, I came from a murder town. Mom, you also came from a murder town where people are constantly being murdered. Things are going to fall apart at any second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was apparent there in the way that they were talking to each other.
Yeah. It was nice. It was a nice little scene that said a lot, I think.
Yeah.
And really justified Sierra's being in the episode.
Well, the main part was Josie really seemed to be moved by it, and she did like a great job acting in this because the camera was on her face for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think eventually she does talk to Alex and they kind of make up, right?
Yeah, they have a great emotional connection moment where he's like, hey, the reason my dad wanted you to date me is because I'm an addict. Mm-hmm. Or wanted you to keep your eye on me is that I'm an addict. It's a problem I have, and I actually owe you an apology, which I think he has said in every episode.
Yeah, every episode.
Yes.
But I do think this episode convinced me that their relationship is actually a thing. It feels real. Yeah, right.
But what's upsetting is Josie was all, she's like, oh, he's not like that all the time. It's like, well, Josie, it's been almost, we've only had six apps. It's happened a handful of times here. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. He's going to continue to be a disaster area bad boy, I think. Well, for the rest of the run of the show, that's sort of his thing.
Maybe
he is a bad boy, but he's not good at being a bad boy.
Yeah, right.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah, bad boy.
All right,
alert.
Can we talk? Get back to the.
So let's jump back and talk about Katie Keene.
You don't want to Jorge Ginger.
Yeah,
wanna leave that
wait,
for
wait,
last?
Wait. I want to finish off the drag show.
Okay, it's just there. It upsells. Okay, we can. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Because the Francois moment, I was like, oh my God, yes. I'm so happy about this. Like, what a great way to use Francois more in the show.
So to explain what that is, there's a big drag show where everyone's competing. Jorge, Ginger, very nervous.
Miss Washington Heights.
Yeah, Miss Washington Heights pageant.
Indeed. And there's a lot of sabotage going on against Ginger, putting Ginger on the outside. Francois shows up as the queen.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What is that? Vivi. I don't remember what it was. Vivi Delight or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Fantastic. And what a good reveal there.
What a great reveal.
We've talked about Francois being Katie's sort of fairy godmother at the store, just like in maybe a ghost. But it was the first episode where it was like, yes, Francois has a purpose being here for everyone and is more of a part of the show rather than just a person that keeps Katie's balloon in the air.
Yeah. Fairy drag mother was just so awesome.
Vivi Humble. That's the name of that's the drag name. But yeah, they have the pageant and Shangela or whatever her name is actually in the show. I think it's Devereaux. Sabotages Ginger
over and over again. Nobody's going to say anything to the judges. Just you're going to go. She doesn't lose points for that.
Though Ginger kind of sabotages herself at the same time. Like comes up, is not able to do the speech, is almost not able to sing when it's her time to sing. And then ultimately does a beautiful version of Pretty Hurts, even a cappella once the music is cut out, which is great. But it makes sense that Devereaux wins at the end and not Ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
But that's why I really like the way they did
it. You like it when cheaters win, you fucking asshole?
I do.
Fucking evil
but
Cornell
I think
bastard.
Her losing.
That's why I root for the Yankees, Pete.
Oh, don't bring fucking.
The original cheaters.
Don't wait. First off, what the fuck are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking
about. No, you don't know what you're talking about. So don't just fucking say some random shit. Because people who care about that shit get upset about that.
And do you know anybody like that, Pete?
Nope.
Really, it's the Astros that cheated. But I love the way this the storyline unfolds here, because having Ginger lose and being sad, and then having Francois come in and say, oh, hey, let me be your fairy drag mother. You have something that no one else had up there, heart, basically.
Yep.
And I'm going to make sure that we build up your build up Ginger to be just this unstoppable queen.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love it if Francois slowly works his way into all four of the main characters, because he's already that for the Katie. Now he's that for Jorge and Ginger. So maybe he'll just show up at the Pepper plant and be like, I'll help you realize your art dreams, Pepper.
Yeah. That's that total character domination.
Yeah. The one exactly. Queen musical, though, sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's happening next episode. They're going to do Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Wow.
All show. It sounded crazy to me when they heard it, where they're like, we're doing a musical episode of Katie Keene. And I was like, what have I watched for the last six episodes?
Yeah. But they're going to raise the stakes. And what I like about this show, as opposed to Riverdale, which is moves very quickly, but there's all like sort of a long storylines. Mm-hmm. This show is like storyline, setup. Like it moves very quickly. We don't have to wait long for this full musical episode, which is great.
Yeah. Let's talk about Katie, because big stuff happens there.
Oh, my God.
Great story.
I'm not ready.
This is good stuff. So Gloria... Gloria calls Katie in and is like, the prince and princess and future princess are not getting along. There's trouble in paradise, and it's up to Katie to go back and forth and try to fix everything.
And we should mention, in case you forgot at all, this is Prince Errol Swoon, who Katie has helped out a couple of times.
Yep.
Specifically, his regular Normo bride. To be helped her find an outfit. What?
That's a funny way of saying it.
Help her find a dress to wear, designed their engagement ring. So has helped them out several times. Yeah. And been very much part of the relationship.
She has helped them, but there has been some palpable chemistry between her and the prince.
Right. And that she acts like isn't there, which is a little upsetting, even though. There's at one point in the photo shoot where the photographer stops taking pictures and looks over at her and is like, yeesh.
Yeah. That whole scene where the photographer is like, yay, and pulls his finger up with his collar. Right.
His tongue comes out. His heart starts pounding.
Yeah.
Ha-hoo-ga.
Yeah. Before we skip by it, though, there was a line that I wrote down that Catherine Lanasa says as Gloria. When she's telling Katie what she's going to do, and she says, your royal engagement announcement photo shoot. But the way she says it is so, like, she's singing it almost. And it was such a funny line. She's like, your royal engagement announcement photo shoot.
It's a great episode for Gloria. She does a good job of being this sort of, like, Devil Wears Prada, almost Cruella de Vil, but also, like, mentor to Katie in some ways. She's just, like, so much, and she's also, like, this fantastical character that sort of sings her lines sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much going on with her, and this episode was a great showcase.
Yeah. So, yeah, they do have the photo shoot. Prince Errol Swoon can't put his shirt on. The Normo bride doesn't want to wear... What? You don't like Normo?
No, I think it's great. There's just a wild ambulance here. to pick me up.
That's fine. They're picking you up after the heart attack because you were so excited about me saying the word Normo so many times.
Yeah, normal.
So she doesn't want to wear the fancy clothes. What Katie comes up with is, why don't they have a dress down? Wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah.
And so they take photos there. And that's the point when Katie decides to take everybody's advice and asks the photographer out to Josie's listening party.
Yeah. Well, two things happen before that. We get Katie seeing KO with Xandra on the street.
Ooh, right.
Yeah. And he clearly looks like he's working there. I mean, he's sitting on the hood of the car.
No, they looked intimate, Pete. And
he
now,
did touch her back.
He touched her back. It's not a bodyguard thing to do. Let me say, it seemed very coincidental that Katie happened to be walking by and see this like very big thing. But I got to say, that's very New York.
Yes, that is very New York. It's one of those things for people that don't live here. There's, I don't know, I want to say 8 million stories in the Naked City, approximately. And so you never expect to see people you know, even particularly when you're like outside your area. You almost always see people you know, almost everywhere is what I find.
I have a good story for that. So I'm married now. And we dated for a long time.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. It's big news. Ladies, I'm married.
Oh, boy.
So but before we were married, we dated for a long time, and we broke up for a section, like a year and a half. Yep. And so I was dating this other girl, and I had wanted to be with my now wife, Molly, for a long time. She broke up with me, and I was, like, heartbroken. But I did date other people. Yeah, you remember. So I was dating this girl, Ashley, and so one day I'm taking a cab with her, dropping her off at work, and I kiss Ashley. She goes off to her job, turn around, and there's Molly.
Wow.
On the street, pushing a baby carriage because she was babysitting, which was very telling for the future. And she just happened to be walking by the street corner where I got out, kissed this girl, and in that moment, Molly got upset, started crying. That's the moment where I think she was like, oh, I can't let this relationship slip away. And right after that, we got back together, got married, and now we have kids.
Wow.
So that to me is a very – it's the same type of New York coincidence that this show uses so well, and that's 100% true.
And weirdly, the weird thing about this is Ashley is the protagonist of this story. Was what you're getting, right?
Yes.
And you fucked her over, man. You fucked over Ashley.
Yeah, I'm the villain.
Yes, you're the villain. You're the Errol Swood in this situation.
Thank you. Do you guys have, what are any crazy New York coincidences?
I don't know. I keep showing up at random places, and you two keep forcing me to do podcasts.
Yeah, quite a coincidence. Us again.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm trying to think of any coincidences. Oh, a weird one, which I should have really taken as a sign, was the day I'm now divorced, but when I was about to get engaged to get married, the day I ordered my ring is the day I saw my ex. She just happened to show up, and then later that day, my ring showed up, and it was like this weird moment where I saw her, and it was like a sign where I was like, I shouldn't be getting married.
And we should mention your ex is named Ashley, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I can't really, all of the things that I'm thinking of are like, oh, I saw two coworkers at Target the other day. But that's not interesting. That's not
good.
Weird. Good story. Sort of on the same level as your story.
Yeah, sick story, bro.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So, yeah, she sees him. I will say in that moment, there was a part of me, I wasn't sure which direction they were going. Either the mistaken... Not mistaken identity, but the mistaken thing where what it turned out to be that he is just working as a bodyguard for Xandra.
That was super clear.
Which, yes, was super clear, but there was a part of me that's like, Xandra would track down KO and date him just to get at Katie. And I feel like that's still a possibility.
Yeah, she hasn't played that card yet, and she's dying to do so.
Right. I think so.
The other thing I want to say is we get Katie going back and forth between the prince and the princess. We get a topless prince, big time, and very strong vibes from the prince toward Katie, even here.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly have a lot of chemistry. Like, she has chemistry with the photographer, but not as much as with the prince at all.
Yeah, it's upsetting to see that because it's like she doesn't realize that Yeah. The prince is going to be marrying somebody, and that marriage is going to be at their job. And so, like, as her boss told her earlier, it's important that she tries to save this relationship. But apparently she doesn't give a fuck about any of that.
She's... Maybe I'm being a little more lenient because this is a TV show, you know, but I think she is living her 20s, and part of your 20s is making dumb mistakes that you pivot off of later. And this is one of those things. Obviously, this is a much bigger mistake than most of us make, but I was okay with it. Like, it's a rebound. It's a cute rebound. It creates complications. But she'll figure out a way of getting out of it. She's Katie Keene. And part of what she needs to do is she needs to grow up. Like, we've talked about that before. And this is obviously going to lead to some important lessons for her that ultimately may make her ready to actually be with Kayla.
First off, like, hey, live your life. Do what you want to do. But it's hard to, like, root for somebody who's purposely tanking something. There's things that are like, oh, I accidentally slept with that dude, didn't mean to, oh, you know, whatever, like, things got out of hand, or hey, you know, I'm just following my bliss, great. But like, you know, not only who he is, but what he means to you and that other person who you helped them stay together, and then you're just gonna like fuck all that just because like he danced with you.
Oh, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's not – she's not purposefully fucking up that relationship. They are – they have a strong connection, and they're both unhappy with – like, the prince seems unhappy with his situation. She's just out of a relationship that she doesn't know what to do with. And, like, it felt pretty natural that they would get together.
Okay, cool. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess I'm
– If you – Pete – in all honesty, and I don't need specifics about this, but have you ever been in a romantic relationship or a fling or one night stand or whatever that you know you should not have done but happened anyway because of the intense chemistry between you and another person?
I don't think so.
Like, this is not trying to entrap you. Like, I have. Like, that has definitely been a thing.
No, this is just
like,
about you bragging, then cool, congrats on
no,
whatever
I'm not
thing you're
bragging.
Doing.
He's not bragging.
Yeah, I'm glad. I just want to bring this up because it's happened to me. Let me tell you about it.
I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it's a super cool thing that I did one time.
No, I mean, it takes two to tango. It was both their faults, but, like, I was just a little surprised, like, I like this show a lot. I love the characters. The acting's amazing. But it was like, I don't want to be stressed out about this shit. And like, I was just kind of like, no, let's not do this choice.
That they have effectively done exactly what they need to do as a drama on television. So
yeah.
Good job, Katie Keene.
They gotcha. I don't know. I loved all of this. The stuff with the photographer, how that seemed like the romance, and then it turned out he's a horrible kisser. There's no chemistry there. Because using that as a counterpoint is like, oh, of course she's going to end up hooking up with the prince because they have chemistry. And then this other guy who's completely available, that just isn't there. That's what love is, man.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to tell me about love. All right, cool. I'm just saying that, like, it was fucked up that both of them, like, threw their, like, all right, great. Chemistry is great. You had one night, but that whole, you were just about to marry, and then you almost got married to KO. All right, whatever. I'm just saying, like, hey, I'm not blaming Katie. You know, it took both of them. I was just a little hurt about what happened.
Don't you do that.
Don't you dare. Pete, what if a princess came up to you and was just like, hey, I'm going to wear this hat. Because I'm in disguise, mm-hmm. We're going to go out in the town, and we're going to have a romance. You'd be like, I'm sorry. What about your prince?
I would be like, yeah, sorry, I'm in a relationship right now. And like, go, yeah, have fun.
No, well,
in this scenario, you're not in a relationship. You are just, okay, let's frame it up. So, Pete, In this scenario, you are an aspiring fashion designer living in New York. You work at a department store called Lacey's. Your name is Katie Keene.
I'm in love with KO, and I need to realize that. The sooner I realize that, the less people I'm hurting, the less havoc I'm wreaking.
Well, but you think at this current time that KO is dating your arch enemy, Zedra.
She knows that's not true. KO would do that. Wow. She knows.
Honestly, Alex, I hate to say it, but I think Pete might actually be in Katie's position. He is in love with KO, and he's a little nervous about the prince.
Ooh. Okay, you got to go with your heart. Just follow your gut and be a dreamer. That's all I got to say, Pete.
Oh, boy.
But you know what? Stay away from that fucker, Ashley, because she's coming for all of us.
Oh, wow. Oh,
poor
wow.
Ashley.
Okay.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
She definitely does. We have one listener, and I looked at the demographics the other day, and it was females who dated Justin and Pete living in New York named Ashley. And
wow,
that was it.
Big,
it's
huge,
very specific demographics. Yeah.
I was going to say very small, but all right.
Yeah. Either way.
And then there's all the people that we both dated, Pete.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know? Perfect. Let's never speak of it again. So, the other side, I mean, we've touched on a bunch of this stuff, but I mean, we can talk about Gloria and Katie, because Katie, in the midst of all this, is like, hey, Gloria, my mom worked here and I want to know the details.
Yeah.
And Gloria's like, well, if it'll get you out of the office, I will pull her file. Very odd that the job has a file on everyone. Perhaps,
right.
But
that tracks for me.
Yeah,
like
that's pretty regulation.
Lacey's is very, very old school, so I could imagine her sending Amanda down to the storeroom to look through the files and find this one specific file on Katie's mom, which we should mention, as we found out last episode, Katie's mom seemingly worked on Lacey's, even though Katie didn't know that, and got a sewing machine gifted to her by LL.
Cool J.
Yes. Oh, I hadn't really thought about that possibility, but that one makes sense.
Yeah. And that's why we see later that LL Cool J signed the document that Gloria has.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so
and that
there
was looked like a piece of paper she was hiding from Katie.
Mm-hmm.
She added it later.
There's some information that she doesn't want Katie to know, and I'm still convinced that Katie is the heir to the Lacey's fortune somehow.
What?
That 100%. Feels like
no.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. It's definitely about her father, that her mother was fired from Lacey's because she was having a secret affair with the son of Lacey or something like that.
Wow.
And I think Gloria knows, because she definitely puts Katie off by saying, like, hey, this secret you should know. Maybe your mom is trying to protect you.
Yeah, she's literally and saying protect you as she's lying to her, trying to protect her.
Yeah. That will definitely come out by the end of this season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I would be surprised if Katie doesn't own Lacey's by the end of the season in some way.
No way.
Oh, she'll be a princess and own Lacey's? That'll be
I
fun.
I think so. Yeah. It's all working out. The classic
that
New York story.
Jumping the shark if they did that.
I don't think so. It would be jumping the shark if literally there was a shark there and they jumped it, but that's the only way.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, as we mentioned, the prince shows up at Katie's doorstep, talks to her, says he's really nervous about the marriage. He doesn't think it works. They want different things. She just wanted Chinese food the first time they had a date, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, why don't you come out to a drag show with me? And Ginger, in a very funny way, hands him a hat as a disguise.
Yeah,
perfect.
And it works.
Yep.
So they go to the drag show and he has a great time and they have a great time together. And as we mentioned, they end up dancing and drinking and smooching and falling into bed together.
Yeah.
And he's not there the next morning because she gets a call from Lacey's and she comes in and everybody's there and all the guards are there. And Gloria's like, come here. They want to tell you something and won't stand next to Katie.
Oh,
and you're like,
no,
oh,
she won't.
Shit. Here we go. And the prince looks terrified. And then the Normo says, Katie, you've been here for everything, and there's something I need to ask you. Will you design my wedding dress?
Oh.
And Katie's like, ha, 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 ha.
This
and
is
then
great.
She's, And I think this is where she says she's royally screwed, yep.
Yes.
Which is a very funny joke.
This whole thing I thought was so well, just everything building up to that moment where Katie's in the middle of the intersection of her, like, this dream, her dream of designing dresses, her work at Lacey's, which is, like, her job that she really likes, but it's not her passion, and then her love affair with this prince, at the same time she still loves KO. Very good to have that all be... come together in this one moment.
Nope.
Are you just mad because KO was not there? Didn't run in and be like, Katie, you really love me. And Katie was like, I do love you. End of show.
No, I mean, when KO showed up and she was like, oh my God, KO, did you see her eyes? She like melted when she saw him a little bit. And then he's like, you were totally jealous. Oh my God. I just was working for her. Like, chill out. I was just mad that like, I was like, okay, great. They're going to find out. She's going to have to come clean. And then it was like, nope. You can keep living this fucking lie and keep going out with the prince until you guys figure out what's going on. And then maybe not tell the person you're about to marry. And they're going to enter into a fucking lie together. What the fuck?
Well, a couple things on that. Because I think this show has shown us way more connection between Katie and this prince than Katie and KO.
More heat.
Well, but Katie and KO don't talk about stuff.
I mean, that's a whole lot that we didn't see.
Right. But, like, they don't have big conversations. They are just, like, sort of checking in with each other. When we get these bigger conversations between Katie and the prince, and it feels bigger right now for her.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to see how this all works out. And, I mean, it still feels very rom-com to me in the best way. I don't know if this is going to get real at any point. And certainly there are real emotions throughout the show, but there's very heightened circumstances. And it could end up in a way that is treated where it's very bad for everybody.
Yeah.
I think we'll get some of that fallout, but more likely I think there'll be romantic entanglements and spiraling insanity. And I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be fun.
Agreed.
Fun to watch.
I just think that before this, Katie has been like a good person. And now it's just, we're doubting a little bit of like, maybe she isn't a good person.
I don't think she's a bad person at all. I think she's just in the middle of a lot of emotions.
Well, she better start coming clean to some people.
I don't think she's a bad person at all.
She's not committing any crimes, Pete.
Yeah, she's having fun in her 20s. That's something that you do in New York. That's been the whole thing that I've been trying to impress on you this entire episode, Pete.
Well,
she is allowed to sleep. She is single.
Yeah.
The prince makes a mistake.
Yeah. Great.
Not her.
Great. But now that they can't get married.
What?
I think they can get married.
Not unless she comes clean.
What are you, a priest?
Yep.
Yeah. Pete, I actually saw the script for the last episode of Katie Keene this season, and it's Katie comes clean, everything to KO, dramatic music, and then KO says, I'm sorry, Katie, I can't be with you. I have a new close friend, Pete LePage, and he lives in Brooklyn, and we do stuff together, and we're friends. It's fun.
One time I knelt down in front of him at a pizza place, and I handed him a slice of pizza, and he said, you made me the happiest toidle in all of New York.
There's nothing like a great slice of pizza. Fuck you both.
All right. Now, we already, I think, covered our New York moment this episode because we talked about mailboxes, so we're good there. So if there's no final thoughts on the episode, I think we can kind of wrap things up. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by, and we will chat with you about Katie Keene. Also, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast. More iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen. On iTunes, please leave us a comment in particular. And listen, if you dream of finding that perfect guy out there or that perfect girl, then find a couple of other guys or girls first and dream of those too.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Keep dreaming, especially you, Pete, the underdreamer.